You're listening to the Carnegie Tsinghua China and the World podcast, a series of conversations with Chinese and international experts on China's foreign policy, international role, and China's relations with the world. Brought to you from the Carnegie Tsinghua Center for Global Policy, located in Beijing. I'm Paul Hanley, the director of the Carnegie Tsinghua Center, and I'll be your host. Today, I'm delighted to be at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, D.C., and speaking with my colleague Yukon Huang, senior associate in the Carnegie Asia Program, where his research focuses on China's economic development and its impact on Asia and the global economy. Previously, Yukon was the World Bank's country director for China and for Russia. He served as an advisor to the World Bank team that worked with the State Council in China to prepare the joint report, China 2030. Yukon is an A-list commentator for the Financial Times on China. He's also working on a new book to be published later this year entitled, Why Do Views on China Differ So Much? Yukon, thank you very much for being with us today.
Pleasure being here.
So we're speaking today several weeks after China A-shares plummeted in early July. China's equity market is now at levels around 30% below their peak in June 12th. You've talked a lot about government intervention at the beginning of the stock market going up, encouraging investors, but also after the fall. And after the fall of the stock market, many observers pointed to the 2013 Third Plenum document, which for the first time said that the market would play the decisive role in allocating resources in China's economy. Yet the Third Plenum also stated there would be a continued dominant role for the state sector, but that the decisive role would be the market. So what should we make of the language that we find in the Third Plenum document and the government's heavy-handed intervention in the stock market? Is there a contradiction between rhetoric and reality?
For many observers of the China scene, there seems to be a contradiction between the Third Plenum statement of the increased role of the market, while at the same time saying the state should have a dominant presence. From a Chinese perspective, it doesn't necessarily seem like a contradiction, because you have to ask, what do they mean by the market? And what they mean is prices of goods, energy should be freed up. That has been the case most recently in terms of energy prices. Interest rates, exchange rates, capital flows, markets, capital markets should become more liberal and free, and they have been actually over the last several years. The equity market, what they try to do actually was to say, we're going to make the equity market a stronger and deeper market, which actually was a reasonable intention because it really wasn't playing a role. So in the sense of saying, let the market play a greater role, even the equity bubble, the origins of it, were grounded on the views of making the market more stronger in the system. Now, what about the concept of the state still plays a dominant role? And what they're basically saying, of course, is the state ownership, for example, of key assets, raw materials, and the major state enterprises is not going to change. So it's going to remain dominant. The role of the state in these markets, in shaping policies and how you deal with it, will remain dominant. So you have this apparent kind of a contradiction. Yes, the markets are going to be broader, deeper, more pervasive in the system, but the state's role in these markets or shaping the outcome of these markets will continue to be strong. Now, of course, in the West, we would not think that these two concepts are compatible. Markets should be left by themselves. Right. The state should not be intervening. But this is actually their concept. The same thing is applying the rule of the law. Mm-hmm. From a Western perspective, they thought that rule of the law meant that this would actually provide what I call a more neutral framework for everybody to operate, whereas it's actually a framework for the state or the government to actually control others rather than the reverse. So here I think it's a bit of wishful thinking, and we're seeing the reality now.
Right. So the Chinese government is eager for its market to be a global player. They want a financial system to be on par with the world. Given the experience with the ability to regulate the capital markets over the past month, do you think there's any change in the leadership's thinking on this issue about how ready China may be to oversee something like an opening of its capital account to the global capital market?
I'm sure there's a rethinking or trying to understand what went wrong with the equity market. The objective of opening up the financial markets, the capital markets, I think that remains serious, and the government will continue on this vein. This is has very strong political support, because the concept of a China rising or China playing a greater role includes China's financial system playing a greater role. Internationalizing the RMB is a key objective. To internationalize the RMB, you also have to have an equity market that's linked to global equity markets. So I don't think that will change. Mm-hmm. But what the lesson is how you implement this objective needs to be done more carefully. Mm-hmm. And the major issue they have to face is the following. Is the role of the government to regulate these markets to make sure that it performs sensibly? Or is it influence the outcomes? And I think the lesson from this, of course, is it's very dangerous for the state to try to influence the outcomes. Right. It needs to actually provide proper regulation. Mm-hmm. Now, regulating markets is not easy. Even in the West, you can see what happened in Europe and the United States. The strongest and deepest financial systems still had instability and problems. So it's not a task that can be handled fairly easily. And now we see a similar kind of example of a different nature in China. So I think the debate is going to be not on the objective or what they want to do. The debate's going to be we need to implement this better. Mm-hmm. And how do we create institutions that can make it work better? And the answer is this is not easy. This is going to take more time. I think the implementation, therefore, will slow down. Because you cannot create the kind of rules and regulations institutions to make this work that quickly.
Well, thank you very much. That's it for this edition of the Carnegie Tsinghua China and the World podcast. If you'd like to read UConn's new paper on China debt, you can find this one and other articles on the Carnegie website at www.ceip.org. I encourage you to visit and see all the work of our scholars at the Carnegie Tsinghua Center. Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next time.